Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Weekday Wednesday, everybody. Thank you for joining me. Woo-hoo, me and Tech Guy are hanging out. It's Bell Star. And we'd like to say welcome. Weekday Wednesday, July 24th, 2013, approximately 8 a.m. We are Tucson, Arizona's number one online radio podcast about all things medical cannabis. Your host today is Bell Star and Tech Guy. Although you might not hear much from him, he'll be, you know, signing and drawing pictures and laughing at me, you know, behind the scenes here. What's the Tech Guy supposed to do? We have interviews, strain reviews, product reviews, news, and information about anything and everything medical cannabis related in Tucson, Arizona. I hear you guys and the world at large. I heard it all. I heard all your screams. And let's see. Today we have a wonderful show. We have back on again Students for Sensible Drug Policy with Kaylee Nugent, and it's going to be a really great show. There's so much going on out there. We got to find out what's going on with the students in the world because they need to vote. We know that, you know, back in the day, all we ever hear is back in the day, you know, all those guys of that age, 40 plus, you know, 40 mil, they don't vote. They know nothing gets done if you don't vote. But the kids, I mean 18 and older, need to get out there and start voting and push this thing along. We are at 19, New Hampshire, yesterday, passed their medical law. See if we can get some kids cheering here. Yay! So we're now at 20, including D.C., so we're tipping the scales here in our favor. It's a really exciting time right now. Anyway, if you want to call and chat with Students for Sensible Drug Policy or Bell, or you can, you know, yell things at the tech guy, might not respond, you can call 646-915-8421, email thctucson@gmail.com, or it's on blogtalkradio.com and blog with us. It's really lots of people from all over the world and took questions, and exciting times for the canna world. We would like to thank Tumbleweed Host Center and Studio C for hosting your show. Studio C is getting a bit of renovation. That's why it's like this right now. Along with certification over at Tumbleweed Health Center, you'll find classes, lectures, demonstrations, medication, and all things educational related to medical cannabis. TumbleweedHealthCenter.com. And I think there's a director's blog that came out yesterday that said, for Tucson, Arizona anyway, that said, I believe there are 42 dispensaries now. I'm not quite sure, but that's three pages of dispensaries. All right, kids, get on out there and get your medicine. And no more grumpiness, huh? No more feeling bad, some pain relief, get some sleep, eat, get rid of the nausea so you guys can actually eat out there. I can't tell you how many people we talk to all the time that you can't. Sometimes they give you an anti-nausea pill that, I don't know, makes me nauseous. All right. We have a great show this morning. Let's do a couple more thank yous, a couple shout-outs to the Growers House at 227 East Valencia, right here in Tucson, Arizona. Best hydroponic store, best prices online or here in Tucson that you will find. Go there and tell them Tumbleweed sent you. And they've got a great father and son team, Nate and Paul, and an awesome group of guys that will help you with all your growing endeavors. Excellent, friendly faces, and patients as well. And let's see, also, we've got to thank AZ MedTest for testing the medicine here in this great state of Arizona. I'm not sure how many states across the country now that have their programs are requiring testing, but it's a really good idea. At least, if anything, make sure that they're safe and there aren't chemicals and there aren't bugs and fungus and mold and things like that. That's not anything you guys want to consume. We're called cannabis consumers. Did you know that? It's a new trend going around. We're not stoners or potheads. We're cannabis consumers. So get your lingo right, kids. I love it. Well, however you're consuming it, make sure that there's nothing in it. I mean, well, except for the good stuff. You know, your CBDs, your CBNs, your THCs. There's a whole list we had out here, I just had a minute ago, with the various cannabinoids and some of the properties that they help us with. But I know AZ Med Testing gives us these incredible little charts that were done with our testing. It tells you your CBD, CBNs, and THC levels. It's funny because people come in and they say, you know, when they're talking about meds, and they say, oh, I want the highest THC level I can get. And then they come back and say, how'd that work? Well, you've got a lot going on up there. THC creates a lot of energy, and if you're not in the right mood space, well, paranoia happens, I would say. It's not the pod. It's not the cannabis. It's our country. So that's my rant and rave. Let's see. Speaking of our country, we have an incredible organization that I'm going to let our guests speak to everybody about. But this is one of those organizations that is essential in this fight for our medicine, our plants, you know, the ability to grow this alongside our basil and our cherry tomatoes. You know, let's go out and pick some dinner. Let's have a salad. What are we going to put in? We're going to go get some carrots. We're going to get some peas. We're going to get some cannabis buds. We're going to get some, you know, cucumbers, cherry tomatoes, and then I'm going to drown it in ranch so I can't taste any of that. But you can put your cannabis in there. I think it's a good thing. All right, let's see. I believe we have some very special online here. Say hello and see if we can say good morning. Good morning. You're on air.
Hi, how are you?
Hey, good morning. How are you doing? Did I say your name right? Is it Kaylee?
Yeah, Kaylee Nugent. You're actually one of the very few people who get it right.
All right. And I just have to, it's a totally off-the-beat question, but do you know who Ted Nugent is? Are you related?
You yes, get that? I know who Ted Nugent is, and we are definitely not related.
Oh, okay. That's all right. Just a fun question. So where are you? Are you in West Virginia?
Yeah, right now I'm in Morgantown, West Virginia. I have been doing my internship with SSDP mostly online. I've visited D.C. a couple times, but I'm sticking it out in West Virginia for the summer.
Wow, and so you're a student there, I'm assuming, since you're involved with the Food Drug Policy. Tell us a little bit about...
I'll be a senior this year.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry, you're breaking up a little bit. What was that?
You'll be a senior this year?
Yeah, I'm studying public relations, and I'll be the president of our SSDP chapter there.
All right. Yay. That's awesome. Well, tell us a little bit about yourself and SSDP and how you got involved and all that good stuff.
Well, I got involved with SSDP my freshman year. They were hosting a kind of a speaking event with Eric Sterling. He was hosting it. Talking to students about what was going on with medical marijuana in the D.C. area at the time. And I actually only went because they were offering extra credit for my sociology class at the time.
Right on.
Yeah. But it was easy extra credit for me, something that I was already interested in. And, you know, when you first get to college, everyone's pushing, you got to join student orgs, you got to get involved with all the clubs, it's really important. And I just was not interested in, like, the cooking club or, like, the lacrosse club. So I actively joined a club that was something that I really cared about. And after the speaking event, I got to talk to Drew Stromberg and some of the other people who were running the chapter at the time. And I just really loved it and loved what they were doing. And I've been involved pretty much ever since.
Wow, that's awesome. All just on a whim of not to... you know, or to go get your class, your fulfillment. So now you can actually teach that cooking class with just a little twist.
Yeah. That's maybe not in West Virginia just yet, but maybe sometime soon.
So what's going on with West Virginia and their cannabis laws and rules and statutes and things?
Well, for the past 3 years, we have been... Delegate Mike Manypenny has been introducing a medical marijuana act for the state, and We basically, it would be mostly for very serious illnesses. They just recently cut down what the illnesses could be, but includes like cancer. I'm pretty sure, maybe like, I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure MS, a couple other diseases. But I actually just got a really great email this morning that was going to be the committee this summer is going to be having a study about the effects of cannabis and medical cannabis because the bill has not really gone anywhere in the past. It's pretty much gotten stuck in committee. But this past year, we had 10 co-signers compared to, I think, only one the year before. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, we're making a really great improvements, and hopefully, I mean, I'm pretty sure the email said something that they were going to be getting started studying that maybe even today or the next couple weeks, but yeah, hopefully we can get some good information to our legislators, and I really think that with West Virginia, we have a little bit of a problem with prescription pills and meth, especially like the southern part of the state. So if we can get medical marijuana out here for our patients, I think we can make a really great difference. And I really think that maybe even if not as this upcoming legislative session, we could definitely get medical marijuana in the state pretty soon.
Absolutely. New Hampshire just passed their, you know, it was the 19th state to pass the medical cannabis law, yeah, which is just awesome. So now, with New Hampshire, we're at 20 with D.C., so we're tipping the scales. I mean, we've only got, you know, six more states to go to get to do what alcohol prohibition did was when 26 states had said, all right, enough's enough. Then they went ahead and amended things.
Yeah, I really think that if we get at least half the states, you know, the country is just going to get a realization that this isn't about just trying to get weed legalized for people who want to smoke. This is really about getting medicine out to patients. And hopefully we change people's minds on this.
Absolutely. So you use cannabis, assuming? Should we assume
I'm
that?
Sorry.
So you are a cannabis user yourself?
No, it's actually not medicalized or anything in West Virginia, so I'm stuck waiting it out.
All right. Well, that's no good. Go over and get to New Hampshire. Get to D.C. Where are you in this country? Fly around. And what are you going to do when you're done? Are you going? You're going to be a president of SSDP chapter over there. What are you going to do with your schooling when you're done with this? We're going to see you in the news?
I'd really love to get involved with drug policy, you know, work for maybe some campaigns trying to get more legal marijuana stuff like Safer Arizona that's happening. That seems to be some good news out there. So, yeah, I'd really love to work in drug policy or really any kind of advocacy reform, trying to get a more progressive United States in general. So if I can try and help out the country a little bit after I graduate, I'd be very happy. And if I can get a paycheck for it, that would be even better.
Absolutely, something we all need to pay our bills. So what are you doing now? How many students are in your chapter over there?
We probably have about 20 students in our chapter. That's about average for most chapters in the country. But, we'll be starting up the school year here in about, I think we start on the 19th at West Virginia, so who knows? Maybe we'll get a bunch of freshmen who are excited about drug policy, and I'll be able to tell you a completely different number in a month about how growing our exciting it is.
And how do you get students? I mean, how do you rally for SSDP students to come join your organization?
We do a lot of tabling, which is we have, you know, a table with the big No More Drug War Drug Policy Alliance signs that really catch people's eye. And we'll sit in our student union. We have just kind of talking to students really about what's going on, trying to get their attention, because a lot of students, when they walk past and see the big No More Drug War signs things and see us talking about legalizing marijuana, they're kind of interested. So we just talk to students. And then also SSDP has the great Amplify project where we can table with artists who are excited about changing drug policy, and we'll have petitions and stuff at their shows, and we get a lot of students that way as well.
So when students join your organization, what kind of activities are they expected to do? How involved are they expected to get? Do they go to the White House? Do they table with you guys? Do you guys have marches?
Yeah, we do a lot of different stuff. We do a lot of changing policies and really, like, starting conversation. This past legislative session, we went to Charleston, the capital of West Virginia, and we talked to a lot of our different delegates about the medical marijuana bill that was happening. And I know for a fact we changed at least a couple people's minds. But and then, yeah, we also, this just on the June 17th, SSDP National got students from all over the country together to talk about H.R. 499, which was the amendment letting states decide their own medical or just their own marijuana policies in general, similar to alcohol, the way that is set up right now. And we just went and talked to our representatives about that on June 17th. We also did a lot of help with Colorado, West Virginia University. We had tons of phone banking parties, pizza was involved, and we made over 3,000 calls to a bunch of Colorado residents, getting them informed about the upcoming, bill, which thankfully passed. I'm so happy about. And we also bring in speakers, debates. That's, you know, how I got involved and got excited about drug policy. And we have the Know Your Rights campaign, which is basically just educating people with their rights so they know if they have their rights with the police's limitations, stuff like that. So we do a lot of different stuff. There's always, you know, bake sales, the normal student org stuff as well.
If you go to ssdp.org and you click on the campaigns, Kaylee's talking about there's a whole list of things that they're involved with, end zero tolerance, global drug policies, drug education and counseling. And this is something I found interesting. Tell me about this and how this works. Pell Grants for Incarcerated Students.
Yeah, this is an interesting topic because it's really complicated, but basically... you know, there's a lot of stuff out there with incarcerated students, and if you're going to jail, you know, if you're not going to be able, a lot of the times people are not going to be able to get these Pell Grants, and they're, it's just a really, honestly, it's just a major problem that people are being put in prison instead of being put to school. It's trying to better your society. It makes a lot more sense to be getting students into higher education, and it really, we just need to be able to get our students able to get their financial aid that they need so they can go back to school instead of going to prison, getting an education and, you know, making a difference in this world.
Absolutely. Can anybody that's been incarcerated around this country apply for one of your Pell Grants?
I know that everyone can apply, but I'm not sure, honestly, the details on this one, because I've been working more with the medical marijuana in West Virginia recently, so I don't have all the information on the Pell Grants for incarcerated students, but...
But it's there if we wanted to get in contact with somebody. It's a really...
Yeah, yeah.
We have a couple of... I said we have a couple of really good friends out here that have been... let's just say really bothered by the law. They're up against felonies, and these are people with families and kids and future kids, and it's just a really sad thing that, you know, the farmers, which is what they are, these farmers, these growers of this medicine, they need help too, and people that are incarcerated, people that are going through court systems, you know, everybody needs support, and I think it's just awesome that your organization can do something like that. We have a question from a blogger out in our ether world, and they want to know how you raise funds for activities like this. Do you get donations? Are you doing car washes?
At the national level, it's we're pretty much, I think we're about half funded by grants and, you know, wealthy benefactors who can really help out the cause, but it's about half donations from just everyday people like you and me. Go into the website, click and donate, but at our chapter level, we definitely do tons of bake sales. We sell stickers and all the swag people want, posters, that good stuff. Car washes, we'll probably do one of those this year. regular club fundraisers. That's the stuff we're doing at the West Virginia level, just trying to get donations to make a difference.
Awesome. And do you find that most of the students on campus are pretty open-minded to this? Are there organizations that are against this, that rally against you guys?
Yeah, honestly, we've had a really great experience at West Virginia University. I can't really think of anyone who's been actively against SMDP. That would be kind of mind-blowing for me, because pretty much everyone I've talked to, even if they're not really excited about the group and want to get involved, they still pretty much agree with what's going on when I try to explain what we're doing here. We tried to have a fundraiser once at a CC's Pizza, and they weren't so excited about us putting our No More Drug War posters up, and that didn't happen. So, but that's really the only, you know, discrimination we've faced being a drug policy club. You know, everyone that we've talked to, the student body, the student government is really on our side. Even the administrators, I've had a lot of good experience talking to them, and they're willing to give out extra credit for their classes so students will come to our events and get involved. I was talking to the teacher that actually taught my sociology class this past semester, and she was excited about our a documentary that we were going to be showing, and she was all about getting extra credit for her students to be able to come out and see that. So we've had a really great experience, at least at WU.
That's awesome. It sounds like you have some really great support out there.
Mm-hmm.
And what kind of things personally would you like to see happen with campus out there?
Wow, what could I like to see happen in West Virginia? There's so much that we could be doing, at least a lot better than we already are. Right now we have, like I said earlier, we have a major, at least in West Virginia, we have a kind of a prescription pill and meth problem going on in the state. And I would really love to see all these patients who are addicted to Percocet and the opiates that I see running rampant through, like, this town where I grew up. I would really just love to see these people on medical cannabis instead, because it would make such a difference in their lives, in children's lives that I know. I would really just love to see, I mean, I'd love to see legal marijuana in West Virginia, but I think that's definitely going to be a few years off.
Yeah. Well, and it's just, yeah, it might be a couple of years, but it's coming. Do you, you said something about young people using this. Do you know any really young people out there that are using cannabis to fight off any illness? We had Brave Michaela on, who has a form of leukemia. But I wonder what kind of ailments you're seeing out there that people want to get cannabis approved for and legalized.
Well, we definitely have an older growing population. West Virginia is not a young state, so we have. I mean, even my grandma has glaucoma. And we've had the discussion that if medical marijuana was legal, she'd definitely be willing to try out a brownie. And a lot of we have a lot of cancer going on in the state. Just honestly, we have a lot of the big diseases that are big, like the poster diseases that you see for medical marijuana. We have that in West Virginia, and it would really make a difference in a lot of people's lives, because it's not even that the people are getting excited about getting on this Percocet and the opiates. It's just that all of a sudden there's the medicine in their house, and then their teenage kids know that medicine is in the house. And, I mean, in high school, it was not uncommon to hear about students just raiding their parents' medicine cabinets on the weekends. So it would really make a big difference if they're raiding their parents' medicine cabinets for medical marijuana than these pills that are different doses and have a lot worse side effects.
Yeah, there was a study just done that said that cannabis actually helps methadone users when they're coming off their drugs.
I saw that. Also with, I'm pretty sure it also helps with alcoholism as well. It helps with everything, so I'm not surprised.
It pretty much helps with everything. We get patients come into the health center with this list of, I'm on this, and then, you know, within the year, they come back and they say, and now all I'm using is cannabis. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
They're able to greatly reduce. I wonder how much in the pharmaceutical world this is making a difference, just excuse me, well, 14, 15 years since California passed theirs in 96. I wonder what the cost effect on the pharmaceutical companies has been. That'd be a good research project.
Yeah, I would definitely be interested. I've done so much more research with marijuana. That's one of the biggest frustrations for me is when I have to describe people the studies that have been done, but how they're not, you know, a lot of them aren't peer-reviewed, above-the-board studies because we can't study it because it's illegal. So I'm really hoping with Colorado and Washington and all the medical marijuana states, we can get a lot more research that just gives a lot more people the information that they need to make the right decisions in drug policy.
Yeah, and on that note, we have another blog question that says, how difficult is it to start a local chapter? Do you need the local school's approval? From concept to approval, approximately how long did it take to start a chapter?
Yeah, it's really not
awesome
that hard
question.
To start an SSDB chapter. Yeah, you just have to, as long as you're motivated, you can start an SSDB chapter in a semester. You do need to get approval from your school, but we are a legitimate student organization. We do all the other kind of stuff that the Young Democrats and all the fraternities were doing, the same kind of stuff as them. We just have a different message that we're trying to get out there. So as long as you will most likely be able to get approval from your school pretty easily. And you just, if you go to ssdp.com/chapters, first of all, you can see if there's already a chapter at your school, because now we have over, I think, 200 in the U.S., so there might already be a chapter started, and you don't even have to get it started. You can just join in and get a part of the movement, but if there isn't a chapter, there's a form you can fill out, and once you fill out that form, we have our outreach directors. They're really willing to talk to you about on every step of this to help you get this movement started. We'll send you a care package, promotional materials. We'll be talking to you through this every step of the way. And this is a perfect time to start thinking about it. You got another month before school starts, and we could definitely, I would love to see more SSDP chapters popping up.
Heck yeah. And we were looking at Arizona, and we just all went out to this map here. So looks like the University of Arizona needs to step up here. Come on,
yeah,
folks.
I would love to see it. I'd love to have a national conference in Arizona. That's nice and warm.
Yeah, well, come on down and help get a chapter started. So you have to actually go to the school. Do you have any, like, really young brainiacs at the school that are in your program, like any 12-year-olds, you know?
Not at West Virginia, but I know, I'm pretty sure we do have a high school chapter. I'm not sure exactly where it is. I know the high school, I'm pretty sure the high school chapter is on the East Coast, but I'm not sure the details. I know we definitely have at least one high school chapter, though. But, yeah, it's always an interesting mix of students who get together for SSDP. But, yeah, generally, if you're going to be the one leading up the group, if you want to be, like, the president, treasurer, something like that, you generally have to be a student to be able to get be the leadership of the club. But if you're just a community member who's excited about it, you know, talk to some students about getting it started. And you don't have to be a student to be a member of the club. You can definitely go to the meetings, help them out with their projects that's going on. I'm pretty sure you only have to be a student for, at least at West Virginia, you only have to be a student if you want to be in leadership.
Oh, okay. And it looks like if you go to the events section, it looks like you've got some really great things and some fun things that did happen. But August 2nd is the first annual Mile High Canyon Trip, I think, I'm going to go. That sounds awesome.
As soon as you said exactly what you're talking about, my phone cut out. What did you say?
We're talking about the first annual Mile High Camping Trip.
Oh, yeah, we've had some camping trips in the past. I have missed every single one of them, and I could not be more upset about it. But everyone always has really great times getting at the camping trips. I love the SSDP community because it's just a bunch of awesome college students who are so excited about changing drug policy, and I have found them to be the nicest people out of any of these organizations that I've really been a part of, you know. when we there this past well not this past year but in I think 2012 in March we had the national conference out in Denver for SSCP, and it was so much fun, but it was a very expensive trip for West Virginia to make out there, and we just put a message out on Facebook for all the SSCP members. We're like, hey, if you live in the Denver area, we are trying to look for a place to stay, and someone we had never talked to before opened up his living room to us and let our entire chapter just sleep on his floor for a week so we could come out to the conference. And it really is just a great group of people who really care about each other and take care of each other because we all have a lot of the same goals. And it's really exciting to be part of that kind of community and knowing that I pretty much have people I can probably rely on in basically every part of the country. It's really nice.
Yeah, they've got some great events. You've got a second annual West Coast Camp Out is coming up. And then International Drug Policy Reform Conference. Now, back to the camping trips and the camp out. Can anybody go? Like, what happens if you're just, like, in the next camp out or you're having a good time talking about campus?
Well, I'm pretty sure generally you have to be a student to get scholarships to maybe, like, travel to DPA, the conference in Denver. But I'm pretty sure you can definitely apply and talk to our outreach directors. We want everyone who's excited about SSCP to come. We've had non-students in the past come and people who are just excited about it. Just because you're not technically a student, it doesn't matter. We want you to come. And the conference this year is going to be in Denver, October 23rd to 26th. And if you go to reformconference.org, you can get more information about that. I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping I can make it out there. We'll have to see. Denver's kind of far away, but to be a lot of great stuff happening.
What do you expect to happen out there? Tell us about the conference for those listeners out there in the world. What's going to happen?
Well, I know at least in past conferences, there's just been, you leave after a conference and you just feel like your brain is going to explode because you have so much new information and so many new people that you've met, and it's just such a great time. There's always a bunch of, we'll have different panels on different aspects of the drug war going on at different times, so you can pick and choose what you want to attend. Sometimes it's really frustrating because you have three awesome events all going on at the same time, so we like split up our chapters and make sure everyone gets to something so they can take notes and bring it back to everyone else, but there's just been a lot of great networking, talking to the big wigs in drug policy. That's always exciting. And then just getting a ton of information, meeting the staff of SSCP, talking. And it's really one of my favorite parts is just talking to students from different parts of the country and finding out what they're doing for their chapters. Because when you're talking to students who go to schools that in states that already have medical marijuana, that's a completely different ball game than what we're doing in West Virginia. So they're just doing entirely different campaigns, working on a bunch of different stuff, and it's exciting to see what our chapter will be doing in the future once we have medical marijuana in West Virginia.
Absolutely. That's going to happen fast, though. I bet it would happen faster than we all think it is.
I have pretty good sights set for West Virginia and to get medical marijuana. I can very clearly see it happening in the next 2 years, or at least getting the ball really rolling. I mean, apparently they're studying the effects of medicinal cannabis today or in the next couple weeks, so maybe by the next legislative session we'll have some major change happening.
That would be awesome. I know right now there's a group in Arizona that's trying to get it legalized, on the ballot legalized next year, so...
Yeah, I was looking at that. That's pretty exciting stuff. I know that if you guys get it to the point where we can do some phone banking, we will definitely be phone banking once again. We did have quite a few phone banking parties for Colorado, and that's one of my favorite things to do. Sometimes it's kind of frustrating talking to the more disgruntled voters, but it's so exciting when you get to get someone on the phone and they're just as excited about the initiative as you are.
Oh, that's really cool. And you guys set those banks up at the schools there?
Yeah, we've had some at the school. We'll have some at I've had some at my house before, just whenever people can get together and get enough money for pizza, we get together and we just hang out, make the phone calls. It's a lot more fun to do the phone calls with other people, because then when you're, you know, waiting to make the next call, you can talk about all the crazy things people have told you in the last couple calls. So it's really, I have such a great time doing phone banking. It's one of my favorite things to do. So I want you guys to get Arizona on the ballot so we can talk to these voters. I'm excited about it.
Amen. We like it. So speaking of taking action here, you've got to tell us and the listeners about Amplify.
Amplify. I love Amplify. It's one of my favorite parts of SSDP. Amplify is our project with a bunch of artists trying to get the they're all musicians who want to end the drug war. They're on our side with it. And it's I'm trying to name some bands that you might know, people like Freeze McGee, Lotus, Papadozio. I'm trying to think. Big Gigantic was one of the shows I went to last year, and it was just amazing. And we just go. We can set up our table. When Big Gigantic came to Morgantown this past year, I was there. And as an Amplify volunteer, I got a free ticket to the show. So I just showed up early, and we had our petition for medical marijuana. I think we got about 150 signatures just that night, talking to people while they were in line trying to get into the building. And we were just talking to them about SSDP, just getting their ideas about everything. And we were just basically set up by the merch table. And then after the opening bands went on, we were talking to the girl who was selling the material, and she's like, yeah, you guys can just, no one's going to be out here for the rest of the show. So we just went on in and had an awesome time listening to Big Gigantic. There was quite a few glow sticks, and it was a lot of fun. And after the show, people were coming to us on the street trying to sign the petition. We were getting all kinds of people showing up. It's a really great time. I love being a part of Amplify.
Yeah, there's a huge band list here you've got on your site. That's really awesome. So you mentioned earlier about talking to big wigs. So, quote unquote, big wigs, which ones have you chatted to that have made an impression on you? What did they tell you?
I'm trying to think which ones. I know Eric Sterling has definitely said some things that have stuck with me. He was the one who got me, him and it was Rabbi Jeffrey Kahn who were speaking at the event my freshman year, and they really opened my eyes. I hadn't really thought about it before. You know, I knew people smoked weed and stuff like that, but I wasn't really excited about anything about it. And then just hearing them talking and really just explain it all in a very matter-of-fact way, letting me know the facts, it really made a difference. People who are in Normal, Ethan Nadelman's been at a conference. I'm trying to think of some other names, but they're all escaping me at this point. He has a braid. He runs Harborside. It's driving me crazy. Yeah.
Steve D'Angelo.
Yes, that's who it was. He was at, I think he was at the last conference I went to, and he was just talking to students, talking about his Harborside and all the great stuff that's happening in California. And it's pretty exciting just talking to people that you know. I mean, I'm trying to make a difference at least on my level, but it's exciting talking to the people who are really getting medicine out there to the patients and making big changes in policy.
Absolutely. And who would you like to talk to?
I'd like to talk to everyone. I'd love to talk to Obama, the drug czar, or anyone. I'd love to have a conversation with those people.
Yeah, the former president of Mexico just came out, this morning or yesterday, or the news just said that he thinks within 5 years it'll be legalized. Interesting statement from...
Yeah, I could totally see that happening with the way, especially with our relationship with Mexico right now and the cartels and all of just the death and destruction that it's causing across the continent right now. I really think that if our leaders just think about it sensibly and stop putting the stigmas ahead of the facts, they can really just look at the issue and realize that legalization is going to happen. There's no stopping this train. We're already on our way, but we just really, the longer we push it off, you know, we're just hurting more people right now. So I think if it happens in the next 5 years, oh, I'd just be so happy. That would be the great thing.
There's going to be a lot of happy people in the next 5 years. We have a blog comment, and someone, it's kind of a question comment, but it says, will some states, do you think, go straight to legalization, or will they tend to go medical first before they attempt legalization? Because some of them are just, I don't know, I think once the whole country puts out its program, states will have their choice on whether to legalize it for medical or recreational or both. What do you think?
Yeah, I know. I'm pretty sure in states like West Virginia, we would definitely have to start with medical marijuana before we could get to legalized marijuana, just so we can show the people that medical marijuana isn't going to be the end-all of our state and cause doom and gloom. It's going to be a great thing for the state, but I could definitely see some other states going straight to legalization with all the, you know, after, in this next coming year, we're going to be getting a lot of facts coming out from Washington and Colorado about how great their economy is doing, and especially states that have some debt and really need to revitalize their economy. I think they're going to start really seriously looking at marijuana as a solution to that, because when you tax and regulate it, there's tons of money to be made to go to the state.
Amen. That is a darn good comment. That's absolutely right. They are going to look at that and go, duh.
Yeah. There's an easy moneymaker, and it can be grown in, I'm pretty sure, like, all of America. So it's an option for all the states, and I really think that it'll definitely make a difference in the economy. That's just one of the many things medical marijuana and legalized marijuana will do.
That's absolutely true. It is an option everywhere, and it, you know, we all know, us in the cannabis world know the benefits of choosing hemp over, you know, logging. So, you know, it's anyway.
Oh, yeah.
We have a comment, another comment from the bloggers out there, and someone says, thank you for all of your actions and efforts. We are all very grateful to you, and we're so proud to have such an intelligent, articulate spokesperson advocating on behalf of all of our rights.
Oh, thank you very much. I've tried very hard to be articulate this morning.
Well, you've done good. You're doing great. Is there anything you would like to say about SSDP, cannabis, the world, yourself?
Just get involved, honestly, and have conversations with your friends about it. Because, when my brother was going to college, he's a little bit older than I, my parents were very staunch against all drugs, all of that, no drinking, nothing. And now they completely support me being in the president of SSDP. They love what I'm doing. They love that I'm interning for SSDP this summer. I've had conversations with my grandparents about medical marijuana. And, you know, if you just talk to your friends, your family about this in a sensible way, you know, we're on the right side here. We're the ones with the truth. So, and just getting the information out there is really going to be, I think, one of the biggest differences that we have, getting the facts out to people who are the voters and who can talk to other people. And I think we just need to get a mindset change in America. And when we get there, we'll have a lot of drug policy changes. You know, we're already getting really close. I know it's over half now of people are definitely for medical marijuana in America. And if we just keep talking to people and letting them know what's going on, just sensibly letting them know the facts, then I think we can really change those numbers and get it close to 100%, because there's really no reason that you could be against legalized or medical marijuana, because it's so great.
Yeah, there you go. Just because it's so great. It is. It's very helpful for so many people. And I don't know.
For so many reasons.
Yeah, for various reasons. Well, thank you so much for being on our show this morning. And tell people where to get in touch with you if they would like to contact you personally, and how do they contact SDP and get involved. Do your shout-outs.
Okay, well, if you want to talk to me right now, you can just email me at kaylee@ssdp.org. That's K-A-Y-L-I. at sscp.org, and I'll be happy to talk to you about anything drug policy related or otherwise, whatever. And you want to go to sscp.org if you want to get involved with Students for Sensible Drug Policy. We have all the tabs at the top, different ways you can get involved, taking action. You can always donate if you'd like. And, yeah, I'd love to talk to you guys about this some more. And thanks so much for having me on. This has been a really great experience.
Well, thank you so much for contacting us and for doing everything you're doing. I'm with the blogger out there. You really do an incredible job at telling the truth here and sharing news and information, like our empathy book says, in an unbiased way. And we thank you for putting yourself on the line for all cannabis users, medical, recreational, people that just need and love this plant. So thank you so much for everything you're doing.
Well, thank you. Having this radio show is another great way of getting the information out there, and I appreciate that too.
Awesome. You're welcome. You have a wonderful day, and we'll chat.
All right. I'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, Kaylee.
Bye.
Bye-bye. that was awesome. SSDP.org, Students for Sensible Drug Policy, or contact Kaylee herself. And but the site is great. It's full of information. It's got a list of all the chapters, how you can get involved, resources. You can print out flyers, and they've got campaigns you can get involved with. We spoke of the events coming up. I really think I want to, maybe we should find a way to get Weed Day Wednesday on a little traveling tour, maybe go to a camp out, interview some people live. I think that's important, important part of the job, live events. Take action and amplify. If there are any musicians out there that want to get involved and want their bands on this awesome list here of people that support cannabis along with SSDP, just go ahead and shoot them all an email. And then there's a source you can use for so here's a good quote. We've got this great little little green, what did they call this? The, I don't know, little green book. That's all it's called. And here's a quote. It says, "Oh, I was a stonehead for 30 years. I'd wake up in the morning, and if I couldn't decide whether I wanted to smoke a joint or not, I'd smoke a joint to figure it out." George Carlin. Ah, the brilliant mind. Stonehead. Never heard that one called before. Ah, well, Confucius say, man who stand on toilet, high on pot. That was my other favorite one. All right. Awesome questions out there. Thank you. And awesome comments for Kaylee and SSDP. You can volunteer for them if you want to volunteer at one of the organizational events. And maybe not, I don't know. I don't know if you have to be a student to volunteer, but maybe not. Maybe you just, maybe your kids go to school and you like the fact that they're in the program and you want to. For SSDP. It'd be a new thing. We'll start a new program. Just sorry, never mind. All right. So in the news, New Hampshire becomes the 19th state to have a medical cannabis program. So that's 19 plus DC. That's 20. What? Oh, I'm not even going to ask about DC. And more news we have. Let's see. If you go to tumbleweedshealthcenter.com, you can actually click on the news section, find out what's going on locally. We have $50 Fridays. We're extending it through August. Yay! So memberships on Fridays is just $50. Come on down. Get educated. Take a class. Learn how to cook. Learn how to grow if you're 25 miles out in the middle of nowhere. and network with other patients and caregivers. I think that's one of the greatest things about Tumbleweeds Health Center is they provide a really beautiful place. A safe place, an inviting, warm, cozy, comfortable. Come get your meds and stay all night long. They close at 9 p.m., so you do have to leave at some point. But sit down and talk with other people. It's not often yet in your life where you can just turn to your coworker and be like, you know, I had this strain last night, and I got, you know, it's a little too much THC, or, wow, that put me to sleep. So you can talk to people at some point and say, hey, is this normal? Should I want to run a marathon after using Blue Dream? I don't know. You tell me. We had a good some guitar playing patients that absolutely love that strain. It's very creative, very uplifting, but also very soothing. We have come to Hempathy, the Hempathy section of our radio show here. All right. So Hempathy is a book that we're reading twice now. We're waiting for Ivan, the wonderful author of this book, to write the second one so we can read that. Come on, Ivan. So Hempathy, Food for Thought, is an attempt to show at a glance the illogical distinction between what is what is forbidden, but why not? Scientists and doctors are making wonderful discoveries about how cannabis exerts its beneficial effects, and we need to publicize their findings in an unbiased way to the widest possible audience. We need to stop the obstruction of research and the criminalization of a useful plant and patients everywhere. Like cannabis, this information is meant to be shared, so check out www.why-whynot.net. It's a .net. All right. And there are some incredible pictures in here. So on our why, we've got tobacco. Why tobacco? Ooh, we've got a picture of one of those. And I haven't seen one of these in a long time. My mom used to be a smoker. And actually, that's what her technical diagnosis of dying from was, emphysema, which was caused by her cigarette smoking. So yeah, why tobacco? It's a gross picture of, it says, come to Marvel Country, you know, with your Western man in the back, and then it says, warning, cigarettes cause cancer, and there's like a dying patient on the picture, and then warning, cigarettes cause stroke and heart disease, and this guy's having a heart attack, and warning, oh my gosh, and then there's a picture of these guys, and two guys and a girl standing around a cigarette machine. That's what I haven't seen for a very long time, with the little spiral things, you know, pop out the candy, the vending machines. That's an old school thing. And then there's a sign right next to it, like, there's a picture of this chick with gnarly disease on her tongue, and there's a sign that says, 1-800-QUIT-NOW. Like, I don't think you're going to see this next to a cannabis vending machine. You're going to see happy, restful, you know, peaceful people growing it and wanting more, not trying to quit the very product that they're selling. Isn't that weird? What would Alanis Morissette call that? Ironic? Isn't that ironic? You've got a cigarette machine, and then the company that's backing the cigarette machine is also a product company, 1-800-QUIT-NOW. So they're going to get all these people in their program and make them pay all this money, but then secretly get them back into all those vending machines. I don't know. It's just a bad thing. It is. It's a wicked conspiracy. We need a can of conspiracy. So why tobacco? Smoking-related diseases kill 1 in 10 adults globally, or they cause 4 million deaths. And this was back in 2010, I think. So these numbers have, I'm sure, quadrupled. If the same rate continues by 2030, smoking will kill 1 in 6 people. Cigarette smoke contains 11 chemical compounds that are known to cause cancer. And this is the problem with, you can't compare cannabis to cigarettes in any way to tobacco that has 11 chemical compounds that are known to cause cancer. You just can't do it, folks. Tobacco is an addictive substance. Smokers who use other drugs such as heroin, methadone, amphetamine, and barbiturates rate tobacco as their most addictive drug. Yet, in the United States, smoking is responsible for $196 billion a year in health-related costs, including the cost of lost productivity at your workplace or just in life in general. That's horrible. In Canada, this cost is approximately $17 billion a year. In 2008, there were approximately 46 million smokers in the U.S. and 5 million in Canada. That's a lot of loss and a lot of death and a lot of chemical compounds causing cancer in these two countries, just around the world. So, all right. Ugh. Sorry, Mom. All right, Oktoberfest. And on this page, usually we've got two whys. Usually we get a why not, we've got a cannabis thing, but now we've got, they're going to just full on go, oh boy, they're going all out. Why alcohol? Okay. And you've got a picture of a bunch of inebriated drunk people. They're puking and they're being bad and they're fighting and they're inappropriately doing things they shouldn't be, and of course they're smoking cigarettes while they're doing that. So it says, why alcohol? In 2002, the World Health Report, the World Health Organization estimated that globally 1.8 million deaths every year are attributed to alcohol consumption. Alcohol abuse is associated with accidents, fights, driving offenses, unprotected sex, and more. Alcohol abusers are at increased risk of being the victim of perpetrator of sexual violence and a doubled risk of HIV infection. Alcohol misuse costs the National Health Service in the UK 3 billion lira per year, and the cost to employers is 6.4 billion per year. These figures do not include the crime and social problems associated with alcohol misuse. The number of women regularly drinking alcohol has almost caught up with men. Ew, that's no good. Ugh. So usually we have a why not, and here, you know what, we'll do a couple more here. Here's another one. Why legal access to obscenity? Just creepy dark rooms with people looking at porn. Never before in the history of telecommunications media in the United States has so much indecent and obscene material been so easily accessible by so many minors in so many American homes with so few restrictions. There are more than 4.2 million pornographic websites, 12% of total websites or pornographic websites. One in five children, 10 to 17 years old, receives unwanted sexual solicitations online. According to the American Psychological Association, the internet could be as addictive as alcohol. Oh, goodness. That's just ridiculous. That's just gross and sick and wrong. All right. Why not legalize a non-lethal and natural substance? All right. This is the picture I wanted to get to. That's why I read a little more empathy. Because this is, we're at the Harvest Fest. All right. You've got a bunch of very peaceful, respectful, environmental-loving, people-friendly, cannabis-loving consumers sitting around. We've got the volcano going on. We've got a little drum beat and some guitar, some incense, some dancing, and some fields of cannabis in the back growing. It says, why not legalize a non-lethal and natural substance? Marijuana is now used daily by enormous numbers of people throughout the world. Nearly 98 million Americans over the age of 12 have tried marijuana at least once. More than 20 million routinely smoke it, despite its legality, without direct medical supervision. THC has an extremely low toxicity, and the amount that can enter the body through the consumption of cannabis poses no threat of fatal overdose. So why not legalize a non-lethal and natural substance? And the CBDs, the CBNs, the cannabinoids, the parts of this plant that are so helpful to healing cancer and stopping cancer and helping glaucoma patients and relieving pressure and helping patients that are depressed and, oh, the whole thing, the whole nine. It's just a helpful plant. That's what it is. It just is. Let's see here. So we are actually towards the end of our show here. I can't even believe it. SSDP, Students for Sensible Drug Policy. Check them out, ssdp.org. Thank you, Kaylee, at ssdp.org. You can talk to her personally. We got a quick little timeline here. And let's see here. We are on the year 70. We're at 70. Roman medical text cites cannabis to treat, I don't even know what this word is. I'm going to spell it. Oh, it's earaches. It's all one word. I couldn't even read that. Look at that. I need some more cannabis. The Romans were treating earaches and suppressing sexual longing. Okay. A Greek physician who was a Roman army doctor and traveled widely in campaigns, Pedanius Diocrates, he lived circa AD 40 to 90, he went on campaigns throughout the Roman Empire, studied many plants, gathering his knowledge into a book he titled De Materia Medica, or On Medical Matters. Published about AD 70, it became the most important medical book of the next 1,500 years. Irrefutably included in it was cannabis, both cannabis spelled with a K, as the Greeks do, and cannabis Cannamaros and Cannabis agria, the male and female, respectively. He stated bluntly that the plant, which was used in the making of rope, also produced a juice that was used to treat earaches and suppress sexual longing. So very interesting. Sexual longing and earaches. Who knew? All right. Go Romans. We need to circle that one. We're done there. It's just, and the other day, someone told us the fact that they found cannabis remnants 12,000 years ago in some tombs or something. So come on, people. This is not anything new. All right, so to close up, we would like to thank Kaylee from Students for Sensible Drug Policy for coming on. And students, get motivated, get involved, and go to your schools. And even high school. They're going to be doing this in elementary school. I know it. It's happening. And we would like to New Hampshire joining the other states. That's totally awesome. And we would like to thank Mary Jane Survival Guide, a wonderful survival guide, mjsurvival.com for tidbits of information, where to get cannabis, where to find doctors, where to get certified, where to listen to your favorite Weed Day Wednesday radio show. It's all there, mjsurvival.com. And thank you to all our bloggers and our callers and comments and questions. We love it. We are totally going to close with my favorite pot sham. Listen, we're going to another religion now. Pop song. And stay tuned for more awesome shows. We've got some really fun people coming up. Come to tumbleweedshealthcenter.com. 5315 East Broadway Boulevard. Get certified. $99. Thursday, Friday, and this Saturday we have a Holy Smokes demonstration, organic vaping tonics. You can come down and try some samples today. Thank you so much for being on Weed Day Wednesday, everybody. We love you. And remember, be smart, be safe, and educate. We'll see you next week.
I'm gonna smoke some weed, I only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunting, looking for a pot shop, this fucking awesome.
Walk into my house like, what up, I got some good pot. I'm just pumped up, got some herb from the pot shop. Ice in my fridge, it used to be frosty. My friend's like, damn, that's a stoned ass donkey. Rolling in hella high, looking like it's FIFA time. Dominating all my friends as I eat some chili fries. Draped in a Snuggie with my girl sitting next to me. Probably shouldn't have had a big gulp full of iced tea. But shit, it was 99 cents. I'll be blazing and smoking it. About to go and get some munchies next. Passing up on those Cracker Jacks. Reese's Pieces are where it's at. Gotta get me some soda pop. Cottonmouth has been creeping up. But can't remember where I put my keys. Yeah, that's what's up. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. I'ma take your grandpa's ride. No, for real. Ask your grandpa. Can I take a 65? Deville cruising to my local Publix. Nothing better than rolling with two super fly chicks. They have frozen burritos. I bought frozen burritos. I bought some Ben and Jerry's. And then I bought some Cheetos. Hello, hello, my main man Obama. A couple states have just reformed their laws on marijuana. What you gonna do, send the feds there? Hell no, the DEAs will be like, aw, they got volcanoes.
I'm gonna smoke some weed, only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a hunting, looking for a pot shop, this is fucking awesome.
Know about the science of marijuana? What you know about people suffering from glaucoma? They need it, it helps them with their condition. If you don't believe me, then just ask some eye physicians. Thank your granddad for voting for that guy Richard Nixon is the president who made the plant illegal. But science is now showing that it's medicine for people, and the private sector's fighting to keep all of that illegal. Alcohol and tobacco, pharmaceutical prisons. I'll take those four major lobby groups and fight those motherfuckers. They're making money day and night, all those motherfuckers, and bribing Congress out of sight, all those motherfuckers. They'd be like, oh, it's immoral and unhealthy. see. I'm like, how many people are you making wealth? Anti-marijuana lobbies are making all kinds of profits, and they don't want you to stop it because of all the special interest. I call that getting swindled and pimp shit. I call that getting tricked by the government. That law's hella old, so it's time to update it, regulate it, and then get it under state control. Peep game, look into my political telescope. Think it's gonna stay like this forever? Not hella won't. Not hella won't.
Hey Obama, stop being a hypocrite. You used to smoke weed, fool.
I'm gonna smoke some weed. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm a run, looking for a pot shop. This is fucking awesome. Let's end the war on drugs. It's time to pull the plug. These special interest groups are nothing more than corporate thugs. Let's end the war on weed. The people have agreed. These special interest groups have kept these laws with.